I could go home now and say that I've been to church. Haven't you felt God's presence this morning in all that's been done? Just want to thank Him today for this church. I want to thank Him for our pastor and how good that God has been to all of us. Pastor texted me a couple, 3 weeks ago and asked me if I was going to be here on the 27th. I figured, well, he's probably going to ask me to do the pastoral prayer. And so I said, yeah, I'll be there. Then he asked me to preach. I said I would be honored to do that. And it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you this morning and share a message from God's Word. The title of our message today is What to Do with Yesterday. We're standing here, and I don't know what this week is called between Christmas and New Year's. It's almost like we're caught in no man's land. We just celebrated Christmas. What a day that was. And I know that we all had a great time, and some of us may have been able to be with family, and it was a lot different this year, I know. But then we have New Year's coming up. And so I'm not sure what we would call this week. But I'm going to share with us this morning about preparing for the new year, preparing for what is coming. I would say that most of us are glad to see 2020 come to a close. Amen, that's right. I believe that through all that we've been through in this year, we're better because of it. We have been drawn closer to one another. We've been drawn closer to God because we are more dependent upon God. So I believe that in that respect, we have gained through this year of turmoil and issues and problems. It just seems like every time you turn around, something's going wrong. But we are glad that we've come together this morning into this sanctuary, a sanctuary of safety, a sanctuary of love, and the beautiful song was shared with us. The entire set this morning is good, but appreciated that last song. Wow, touched my heart. Amen. I want to share the scripture that we'll be using today as we bring this message, and that is in Psalm 103. Verses 8 through 12, if you'd like to stand for this reading of these few verses, be great. Again, as we read the verses, think of the title, What to Do with Yesterday. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Father, we thank you for these words we've read. We ask that you would impress them on our hearts and be with us. I ask, oh God, as we move through this message today, that God, you would speak to our hearts. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today that this message touches their hearts, let them, I pray, God, just be open to you. Whatever you might impress upon their hearts, help them to be faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I must say to all of you today that any preparations that you've made for the coming year, we may have ideas, maybe going on a diet. Yay! Or you may want to work on your personality or your relationships. Some, you may want to be a better person within the church, doing this or doing that. So you may have some ideas of what you want to do in the coming year. But again, in order to do that, in order to be what God needs us to be, we need to look at yesterday. Yesterday. That's our focus today. I suppose if I were to ask you today, what day of the week do you take out the garbage? You probably would all know what day of the week that you take out the garbage. We take ours out on Thursday. And here at the church, it's on Monday evening. Now, how would I know that? Because I pick up the trash and the garbage throughout the church on Monday and make sure it's in the trash dumpster before Monday evening. It just takes some planning, some effort to be sure that we've got that garbage out. When we work at it, it's gone, right? I come in on Monday and I go through all the, and you wouldn't believe the trash. Whew. Had no idea. But I come in and I get it all ready and I take it out. I'm thankful that the dumpster's there and then we have a place to put the trash. So it just takes some planning. But there's another kind of garbage that is more difficult to manage. It is the garbage of the past. That's what I'm looking at this morning. A great many people have never learned to deal with yesterday. They allow yesterday to affect today, and they allow yesterday to even affect tomorrow. Instead of looking to the future with hope and with excitement and positive expectation, they are bogged down in the past. They feel guilty about this. They are hurting over that. They are disappointed that they did not do the other. They are bitter over the way they were treated. For so many people, the past is like a heavy weight around their necks, holding them back from the good future that God has for them. For so many, the negative parts of our past are like that of a piece of cellophane clinging to us by static electricity. No matter what we do, it hangs on, irritating, distracting. How can we focus on the future? How can we focus on the future? How can we take hold of the promises of God to make all things new for us if we are so focused on the past? We cannot get onto new business because we are so bogged down in the old business. What is it in your past that keeps giving you a hard time? Is it something you did and the guilt is still there and the guilt still hurts? Is it something you failed in? And a disappointment of that will not let you go. Is it something someone else did to hurt you? And you keep rehearsing it, and the pain of it will not go away. Is it grief? Someone or something you once had and now have lost. And your life seems empty as a result. Surely we understand that God does not intend for us to live like that, hurting. Looking back at the yesterdays and not being able to move forward into the future. Surely we understand that God does not intend for us to live like that. Our God is not a God of the past, but of the future. Our God is one who says again and again, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, everything is new. Listen, I am sure of this. Whatever you are hurting from, whatever is holding you back, whatever is keeping you from the fullest possible experience of life, God wants to gather it up and like some conscientious garbage collector, take it away so it will never bother you again. God will do that if you'll let Him. Isn't that the message in our scripture today? As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. When we understand once and for all this morning, God is not in the condemnation business. God is in the redemption business. Praise His name. He looks at our past not to find ways to condemn us, but to discover what is holding us back, so that He can take it away and free us for a life in the future. That is what God is interested in. Not the past, but the future. He wants us to have a good future. So He wants to take away from us all that gets in the way of that future. This is not a bad image, is it? God, as the great and loving garbage collector of the world. I'm sure you've never seen God in that way, but you will from now on. A preacher shared this story about doing some marriage counseling one time. It was a couple experiencing difficulty in their marriage. They had been through some very troubling financial times and debt and out of work. During that time, the tensions had been great. And they had said and done some very hurtful things to each other. Now things are better financially. They are both working in good jobs. They have enough money to meet their needs. They sat in the preacher's office and told him all about that, looking only at their present reality. There is no reason that they should not be happy and in love. But the past, that stubborn, painful past, was there. They cannot get past it. They could not let it go. They keep reliving the past. They keep picking at the scabs of the past until they are bleeding again, refusing to let healing take place. They keep bringing up those painful chapters of their past and beating one another with it. So the preacher tried to give them a concrete visualization. He said, he asked them to visualize themselves as little tugboats. You may have heard this illustration before. Don't know, but maybe you haven't. He asked them to visualize themselves as little tugboats, towing behind them a huge barge, loaded down with garbage. You're picturing that, right? The barge is connected to them by a steel cable, and it follows them wherever they go. It slows them down. It saps their energy. It keeps them from going to some good places where otherwise they could go. And it stinks up the place wherever they are. That is their past. Their past. It is a huge barge. It's loaded down with garbage, the garbage of guilt and the garbage of regret, garbage of hurt. It's all there. Going further with the image, he told them that there are not many good things they can do with the garbage from the past. First of all, he says, they cannot undo it. Remember that. You cannot go back and undo the past. You cannot go back there and change it, relive the past. No, once it has happened, it's happened, and there is no point in pretending that it hasn't. The sins and failures and disappointments and the hurts of the past are real. That is the truth of it. It's there. Now, I was putting this together, I was thinking my own past. I'll be 72 in just a few days. I know I don't look it, but, you know. And I have a long past. And I haven't always been a preacher. Actually, I've only been preaching about 30 years. So you could do the math and figure that out, that I probably didn't start preaching until I was about 40. But there's a past. And I've been able to, through the help of God, the grace of God, to leave that past, not allowing it to affect me today or the future. And that's what we all must do. We all must do. Anyway, going on with the story here, he says, second, it's not wise simply to repress the garbage. It does no good to shove the past down into our unconscious and pretend that it is not there. You've got to deal with it. No repression does not last. Sooner or later, in some way or other, it is going to surface and give us some trouble. Then thirdly, he says, he told them that they cannot blame it on someone else. If we sift through all the garbage of our lives, we will discover that we are the common denominator. Think about it. Look, I know you're filtering back through your life and you're seeing this garbage and all. It is our garbage. You can't blame someone else. You must deal with it and take care of it. There's not much good we can do with the garbage of the past. We cannot undo it. We cannot repress it. We cannot disown it. There are only two good things he suggested that we can do with the past. We can allow God to forgive it, and we can allow God to help us from it. We can allow God to cut the cable of that barge and allow us to float away forever, or allow the barge to float away forever. I believe there are some people that in some way have some gratification or some satisfaction from going back there, wallowing in that past, and then trying to come back out. No, we need to leave it. Forget it. Learn from it. You don't just forget completely, but you forget the pain and the hurts of it. But you grow as a person and as a Christian as you move into the future. Remember, God is more interested in the future than in the past. He cares about us. God has promised to cut us free from the past so that we can move unhindered into a good future. That is what our scripture promises. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. As we begin this new year, in just a few days, we want to begin it with hope, with enthusiasm, and with assurance that God will accompany us into the future and that He will make it a good future. That's what we must do. We want to move into a new year uncluttered with all the garbage of the past. I want to suggest a few steps in that process. First, we take yesterday's garbage and we name it and we claim it. It's your garbage. It's my garbage. We tell it like it is, and we acknowledge that it has our name on it. It is our garbage. Naming it is what it means by confession. We actually acknowledge it. We take whatever is cluttering up in our lives and diluting the divine image in us. We take that and we call it by name. We are too inclined to pray, God, forgive me my sins. And sometimes when I hear that, I say, such as. That's what God is saying to us, such as. What is that sin that you're asking forgiveness for? Recognize our past. Realizing that we can't overcome the things of the past without God's help. Acknowledge our need for God in this. We name it. We claim it. Secondly, we learn from it. We allow God to bring something good out of it. If we look for something good in our past, even if it's a difficult time, the loss of a loved one, yes, we can get lost in that as well. But look at the great things that comes from something like that. How God, maybe through that time, was with you. How did he walk with you? How he held you up through those times? We need to remember that and not get caught up in the fact, well, I've lost him and I'll never see him again, and on. We can, we will, if we are living for Jesus Christ. Praise his name. So we learn from it. We allow God to bring something good out of it. One of the great truths of our faith is that in God's economy, nothing needs to be lost. We can learn from our mistakes. We can be strengthened by our disappointments. We can become more loving and sensitive to others because of our hurts. We can draw closer to God through the experience of sins forgiven. So if we know how to look for it and how to nurture it, by the grace of God, we can find flowers growing up even in the midst of the garbage dump. Absolutely, nothing can happen to us that God cannot use for good. Think of that. Nothing can happen to us but what God can use it for our good, if we'll let him. Our God is able to make a resurrection out of every crucifixion, an Easter out of every Good Friday, and in his hands, strong hands enough to do that, you and I are always safe and we are always secure if we trust in him. Amen. And then one final thing in this short talk here. We name our garbage and we claim it. We learn from it and we allow God to bring good from it. And then finally, we allow God to cut the cable and to take our garbage away. You say, well, that's pretty easy. No, it's not. It should be, but most times it's difficult for people to do that. I don't know where some people get their pictures of God. I'm sure you've heard different people talk about God and what they think of him, but certainly some people don't use Jesus as their example. I don't understand Christians who see God as one just looking for some excuse to punish us. Some people look at God that way, to exclude us from his love. One who keeps pouring over the past and dredging up old sins, old failures, old hurts, and beating us over the head with them. That is not God, is it? God is not the accuser. Who is the accuser? Satan is the accuser. But too often, people want to wallow in the past, the pity of the past. And Satan will take them as far as they want to go there. And not realizing that God is not the accuser, it's Satan. We need to realize that. God wants to set us free from all the hurts of the past. He discourages and all the discouragements and make us to think less of ourselves. He doesn't want any of that. We need to trust in him. Because God loves us, he wants only good for us. The problem is not that God is reluctant to forgive us. The problem is that we are reluctant to forgive ourselves too often. The problem is that it seems too good to be true that there is no sin that God is not anxious to forgive. God wants to forgive us even more than we want to be forgiven. Because what God wants for us is to live today and tomorrow and all the tomorrows of our lives as beloved sons and daughters. That was so true, in such a way that he sent Jesus, remember? So that we could be saved, we could enjoy the presence of God in this life and have life eternal with God himself. Listen to the promise of the scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. And those words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Do you hear the good news? God is not in the condemnation business. He is in the redemption business. Remember that. When you're dealing with the past and Satan is trying to accuse you of this and that, remember that. That God is not in the condemnation business, but in the redemption business. And while I'm talking about forgiveness, I must take a moment to say that not only do we need to be forgiven of God, we need also to forgive those who have wronged us. I have an entire sermon on that. Continual and unlimited forgiveness. And how that we are supposed to be forgiving of others. You say, well, I forgive others. Well, look at your actions throughout a day. See how you treat the person that's cut you off and on your way to Walmart. Are you forgiving them? And not just for their sake, even more for our sake do we forgive others. If you don't forgive others, it gnaws at the inside. It's difficult to continue on. So we're talking about the future. The hurt, the resentment, the garbage is there. Sometimes even anger toward others. As long as we are carrying that around with us, it is difficult to move into a new and better future. I remember talking with a woman whose husband had left her and married another. When talking about forgiveness, she says, I'm not ready to forgive him yet. He hasn't suffered enough. But he had remarried and gotten on with his life. He was not suffering because of her lack of forgiveness. She was. Every day she was being consumed by her bitterness, her anger. And her children and everyone around her were affected by this stink of the garbage. When God cuts the cable, he takes that kind of garbage away too. Listen to the good news. There is no sin God is not willing to forgive. There is nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. Isn't that great? There is nothing you can do to make God's love for you more than he already does. Right now, you are loved by God. Right now, you are loved and can be forgiven and become children of God. If you are hearing us today and you don't know Jesus, it can happen today. And the future can be good for you if you will let God cut that cable. There may be things in your past that continues haunting and affecting you, your life today. I want to tell you about someone who learned that lesson. This guy by the name of Arthur Gordon was one of the brightest students ever to graduate from high school in Savannah, Georgia. He received a full scholarship to Yale University. Then he became a Rhodes Scholar and studied at Oxford University in England. After the Second World War, he and some of his people that he had gone to school with decided to publish a literary journal with him as the editor. But however brilliant that he was not a businessman. The enterprise went broke and he filed for bankruptcy. In the meanwhile, to get his feet on the ground, his high school sweetheart became tired and waiting for him to get his feet on the ground, so she married somebody else. This man, Mr. Gordon, who had been a success at everything he had tried in his life, suddenly experienced failure for the very first time. He was a dismal failure, and he fell quickly and deeply into depression. His family was concerned about him and persuaded him to go to a counselor in New York. He was desperately in need, so he went and he unpacked his heart. He told the counselor everything, blah, blah, blah. When he had finished his story, the counselor said he wanted Arthur to listen to some tapes of recording sessions, all anonymous, of course. So he listened as a father confessed the ways he had failed his wife and children. He listened as a wife confessed her faults in a failed marriage. He listened as a research scientist confessed to mistakes he had made in the laboratory. When the tape recorder had been turned off, the counselor asked, "Do you hear any similar themes being sounded in all these tapes?" "Yes," Arthur said. "They all keep saying, 'If only I had done differently. If only I had done it differently.'" "Exactly," said the counselor. "I was able to help every one of them. They are all very different people now. And the way I helped them was this. Instead of saying, 'If only,' I taught them to say, 'Now, next time.' Instead of dwelling on the past, 'If only I'd have done this,' or 'If only I,' what can I do differently? How can I do it differently this time?" This is what we need to think about. He might not have said it like this, but what he learned was the gospel. There is not much good you can do without or with yesterday's garbage. You can hang on to it, but if you do, it will stink up your life and deny you of any good future. So it is far better to handle it with doing God's way. And God's way is this: you confess it, learn from it, and then allow God to cut the cable and take it away. That is the promise of God. With the full authority of God, I say to you this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. The future is open, and the future, God's future, will be good. Thanks be to God. So you see, if there are things that are hindering our lives and our living for Christ, then before we can go on, we must seek forgiveness and be also willing to forgive. Matthew 6:15 says this, and think about this: "But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I know of some brothers. Something happened on a vacation many years ago. But to this day, they will not speak to one another. If they happen to be in the same room, or I remember a time at the hospital, they would manage to acknowledge the other one, but that was about it. And I think it's mostly on one of their parts that they will not forgive. But it's hindered that relationship all these years. That's what I'm talking about today. And you and I, as believers, if we move on from the past, we can have a good future. But if we repress it or try to just tuck it away someplace and never deal with it, it's going to rise up in our future and cause us harm there. Satan, the accuser, will do all he can to cause us to stumble, us to fall. That's what he does. That's his job. So this morning, I'd like if you just bow your head. You don't need to stand. Just bow your head right where you're at. And I would like for you to do an inventory. Look at your life. Are there some things in your past that will be a hindrance to you in the future? We're talking about going into a new year. As I said earlier, we all have resolutions that we resolve to do this or that. But maybe there's something there. The altars are open today. Just as we have our prayer time, this side, pray by yourself. This side, if you want someone to pray with you. Now I'd like for you to stand. Go ahead and stand if you would, please. We're going to have them to sing a little music here. And as they are playing and singing, I'll give you the opportunity to come and pray. We'd love to pray with you. We'll certainly keep in mind social distancing, but we want to encourage you on this Sunday, before we move into the new year, if you just want to talk to God, if you just want to say, hey, I'm here today, Father. I want you to know all is well with my soul. And give him thanks. Or if there is something in the past that he's pointed out to you as we've moved through the message today, I want to ask you to just make your way down to this altar. You say, well, I can do that anywhere. That's true. But what a commitment is made before a congregation if we come and kneel. You're saying, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine.